Okay, this is Bishop Wayne Lincoln, and welcome to tonight's New Breed Conference call. We're excited about Friday nights because Friday is devoted to business systems mastery. And we want to empower the new breed of entrepreneurs that God is raising up in our day. And if you are one of them, then you are at the right place, in the right place, at the right time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the new breed, and we ask that your blessings be with us today. Help us to see more clearly than ever before. Help us to see what we couldn't see before. Open our eyes and bless us. And cause the word tonight, cause the teaching tonight to inspire, to empower, and to enable the success of the new breed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is Wayne Malcolm, and it's the New Breed Conference call. And tonight is Friday night, and it is devoted to business systems mastery and raising up the new breed of entrepreneurs. I put out a notice to say that we would be talking about the entrepreneurial secret. And so I'm going to reveal a secret today, and I'm going to take you right into the mind of an entrepreneur. I'm going to show you how smart entrepreneurs think about an opportunity or an idea. And I'm differentiating between a smart entrepreneur and a not-so-smart entrepreneur. Obviously, we're in the age of the entrepreneur in which, you know, everything is screaming enterprise, entrepreneurship, self-employment, own your own business, build a business. But it's very important that we differentiate between successful entrepreneurship and unsuccessful entrepreneurship, and try to identify what it is that makes some entrepreneurs very successful and others so unsuccessful. And what I want to do tonight is to take you into the mind of an entrepreneur, a smart entrepreneur, and I want to show you how you can avoid some of the many pitfalls that are in the pathway for entrepreneurs. And so my real topic tonight is going to come out as we go further in. But I want to start with the law of demand and supply. The law of demand and supply. The fundamental principle, the governing principle for business and for economics. The law, the principle of demand and supply. Now, the fact is that money flows through the principle of demand and supply. Money flows through this principle so that if you can supply something that is in demand, you will get paid for it. That is business 101. Very simple, very simplistic, but very profound, and something we're going to unpack in order to access the entrepreneur's secret. If you can supply what is in demand, you will get paid for it. And if you can create a system that delivers that supply predictably and consistently where it is in demand, then you will have created a profitable business system. So anyone that's interested in building a business system, creating an additional income stream, has to start here with this fundamental principle. And it is that you must supply what is already in demand in order to make a profit. And, I used to refer to this principle as the law of supply and demand. But I'm quite deliberately putting demand ahead of supply. And this is, as simple as it sounds, the entrepreneur's greatest secret is putting the demand ahead of the supply. What smart entrepreneurs know that not-so-smart entrepreneurs do not know is that you must always put the demand ahead of the supply. So I'm going to break that down. I'm going to tell you seven things that smart entrepreneurs know. Number one, smart entrepreneurs know that they can only make a profit by supplying what the people demand. Smart entrepreneurs know that they can only make a profit by supplying what the people demand. Number two, smart entrepreneurs start a business venture with a demand, a gap, or a need in a market, and never with the supply. Let me just kind of break that down. A smart entrepreneur does not start a business venture with a new product or a service. They start the venture by identifying a demand, a gap, a need in a particular market. And when they find the gap, that's when they go about creating or sourcing a supply for that demand. Smart entrepreneurs start the business with a demand, not with a supply. Number three, smart entrepreneurs will never supply what is not in demand. A smart entrepreneur will not attempt to supply a product until the proof of demand has been established. Number four, smart entrepreneurs will seek to establish demand before creating or sourcing a supply. This is very powerful and very important. Smart entrepreneurs, as opposed to not so smart entrepreneurs, will first seek to establish a demand in a market before creating or sourcing a supply. That means they require proof that consumers for this idea exist. They require empirical evidence, proof that there will be buyers for this product or for this service. Otherwise, they're not going to create or source a supply. They start with a demand. Number five, smart entrepreneurs are loyal to the demand and not to the supply. Woo! Now we're talking about loyalties. I want you to know, many an entrepreneur has gone down with the ship, saluting as they descend above their head into economic disaster and ruin. Whereas smart entrepreneurs, their loyalties do not lie with their product, their service, their great idea. Their loyalty is with what the market demands. And so they're constantly keeping their eye on the demand, on what the market wants, on what customers are really looking for, because they are loyal to their customers and not to their supply. Number six, smart entrepreneurs will change the supply if there comes a change in demand. Smart entrepreneurs will change the supply if there comes a change in the demand. You know, years ago, I used to record my sermons on cassette tapes, audio cassette tapes, and we would import blank white audio cassette tapes from China. And we would source labels from the U.S. And we would make tapes of our services available. But you know what? The demand was for the sermon or for the seminar. That's what the customer wanted. I want to relive the sermon or seminar. I want to chew it over. I want to go back through it. But technology created a change in the demand. New technology created a change in the demand. You know, people started to buy cars that didn't have tape players in because we moved to the CD. And tape players were being phased out and CDs were being brought in, until it was very difficult to even play an audio cassette. People simply didn't have the devices. So there was a change in the demand. Now, a smart entrepreneur will change the supply if a change in the demand occurs. And what most people did is they began to record onto CDs and sell CDs. We're now in a digital age in which people want to listen to their audios on an MP3 device. People don't want to be stationary. They want to listen on a media player. And so the smart entrepreneur is noting the change in demand and changing the supply to suit the demand. Now, what happens to those who don't change the supply and are still importing white blank audio cassettes from China, labels from the U.S., and making up tapes? What happened to them is that they are out of business. They've gone out of business, and they've gone down with the ship. Number seven, smart entrepreneurs do not create demand. They locate demand. Woo! This is so powerful. Wish I heard this years ago. Smart entrepreneurs are not out there trying to create demand for their brilliant new idea. No, they are locating where the demand is and then tailoring their brilliant idea to meet that demand, to create a supply for that demand. So instead of creating demand for your brilliant idea, the key is, if you're going to be a smart entrepreneur, is to locate where the demand already is. So what am I really talking about here? I am talking about market research. Woo! Come on, Bishop. Yep. I'm talking about market research. It is the entrepreneur's great secret. Because it is through market research that you establish demand. You prove the existence of potential customers and clients before you even go about investing in creating a supply or sourcing a supply. Through good market research, you pretty much guarantee that your business is going to be successful. So you start the business with market research. And this is where the not-so-smart entrepreneurs make the biggest mistake, is that they make market research almost a necessary evil, ancillary to the business, something that we should do at some point. But while we're thinking about when we'll do that, we're going to get on with building our great new product, or, you know, I found this great new tablet out of the Far East that will lose weight for people or revitalize their energy, and I'm getting ready to go out and sell that. No, smart entrepreneurs do not start with the supply. They start with the demand. They conduct effective, excellent market research to prove the existence of that market. And so I'm going to give you now a strategy for market research. And I cannot stress hard enough how important it is that you start with the research. Now, for those of you who would like some Bible for that, let's look at God's business, Genesis chapter 1. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And in seven stages and phases, God transformed that dark, empty, chaotic planet into a beautiful, beautiful, fertile home for humanity. God did it in seven stages. What was stage one? Stage one, let there be light. Stage one was, let's see what we're working with here. Let's not start dividing the waters from the waters and the waters from the land and populating, bringing vegetation out of the land, or populating the sea with fish and the air with fowl. Let's not start with cattle and creeping things. Let's not start with man. Let's start with light. Let there be light. And that's a secret. We do not start without light. So the starting point is light. And it is the market research that you do, the time you invest researching your market, that sheds light on the whole business and is going to give you the clarity about what products to sell, what services to sell, what products to create or to innovate on existing products, which companies to represent as an agent, as a rep, as a sales professional. This is going to give you an advantage, and it is the strategic advantage that smart entrepreneurs have. They already know that what they're bringing to market is going to be consumed because of the quality of their research. So I'm going to give you some steps now for your own market research as follows. Number one, a good business venture starts with good market research. Woo! Remember, Bishop Wayne Malcolm said that. A good business venture starts with good market research. Woo! And of course, the opposite is true. A bad business venture starts with bad market research. Woo! A bad business venture starts with bad market research. Because a good business venture starts with good market research. A good business venture starts where God starts. Let there be light. Woo! So what does good market research look like? Good market research means finding the answers to some critical questions. Finding the answers to some critical questions before you start the business venture. Okay, so I'm going to give just a few. Obviously, there's a whole lot more. We certainly couldn't cover all of market research in 30 minutes. But let's go into this now with the critical questions that you need to find answers to before you start your venture. So, question number one, which market will you serve and why? Which market will you serve and why? Now, the marketplace is vast, and the marketplace represents any space, real or virtual, where goods and services are exchanged for money. But the market is broken down into segments, so there are markets for particular types of products and services. Okay, there are markets that are, you know, there are just so many different sorts of market. And, of course, in our extended teaching, we break down the eight segments of a person's life upon which they consume money. But you have to ask yourself, which market are you going to serve and why? And a lot of the answers there are going to come out of your intuition. They're going to come out of your instinct. They're going to come out of your passion. You know, what are you passionate about? And they're going to come out of something that has already arrested your attention. So if you're going into the health market, if you're going, you know, into the advice business, if you're going into the financial services, if you are going direct to consumer with products, if you want to work with parents, if you're trying to work with lifestyles in terms of fashion, hobbies, equipment, whatever it is that you're going to ask yourself, which market am I going to serve and why? And you need to be clear about the market you intend to serve, because you cannot boil the ocean. You cannot boil the ocean. The jack of all trades is the master of none. You are going to have to identify a niche market that you are going to serve. Okay? Because you can... you know, you don't need the whole world buying from you, but what you do need is a significant segment of the market buying from you. And so you need to ask yourself, which market am I going to serve and why? Do I have experience in this field? Do I have an experience with this field? Do I have a passion for this field? Do I have a vision for this field? Have I seen a problem in this field? Have I discovered a gap in this field? Why am I going into this? Are you going into it because there's an opportunity knocked on your door and someone said, listen, here's an opportunity to make some money and here's what you do. All you need to do is buy this and then try to sell it to someone else for a little more than you bought it. Listen, that's all the recipes for disaster. You need to have a reason why you are serving that market. Either you've had an experience in that field, you have a passion for that field, you can see a problem in that field, you have energy for that field, but you want to, or you have a vision for that field. You can see, wow, this, I could really bless this market. So whatever the case is, you need to be clear about which market you're going to serve and why. Question number two, very big and important question. What are people looking for in this market? What are people looking for in this market? And the good news is that you can answer that question because people today who are looking for anything, they use search engines to get information. They use search engines, Google, Yahoo, whatever, you know, there's a myriad of search engines. But when people are trying to get information in this information and communications age, they search for it online. And the beautiful thing is that in order to search for something in a search engine, you have to put in keywords. You put in these keywords, and the keywords, the computer will then crawl through the internet and basically list every website in which that sequence of words appears. So that you, and then the beautiful thing about Google and other search engines is that they have a marketing department which can give you statistics and analytics on what people are looking for in a particular field, how many people look for it in any given day, in any given week, in any given month. Now, the great news is that I have a full training manual on how to use Google as the ultimate market research tool to give you current statistical information on who's looking for what online. I have a full training manual of it. Guess where it's posted? That's right, in the diamond page of the ICANN Global Network. Because as you know, these conference calls, you know, for me to really teach you and mentor you, I have to deliver supporting documents and I have to allow you to be able to research something out more fully. So this call is really gives you a window into what's happening. But to get the fullness, you need to get in as a diamond. So here goes. What are people looking for? What are the search engines saying that people are looking for? You need to know that. So that you can create or source a supply that is in demand. Number three, what are people complaining about? What are they complaining about? Remember, you've got to establish demand before you create or source a supply. And when people are complaining, that's called a demand. There's something about the existing products and services in that field that they're not happy with, and maybe you have the solution. How do you find out what people are complaining about? You go to forums, you go to blogs, there are associations, there are others and ways in which people express their grievances. Number four, what are people already buying in this field? What are they already buying? In other words, who are your competitors? What are they actually offering? What do the products look like? What do their services look like? You should be in the habit of subscribing to your competitors' email lists so you know how they're operating and how they're serving. Call them up. and take notes of the service that you get. Perhaps even buy a product to see what the aftercare is like, because you may then find what's missing. That's what's missing. People are buying this, but this is what they're not getting, and this is what they're complaining about. So I'm going to bring a product to the market that gives them what they really want. Woo! Okay, finally, you have to establish the length, the breadth, and the height of your idea. The length, the breadth, and the height. What do I mean by that? The length. How sustainable is this market? In other words, are people just buying this for now? Is it a fad? Or are people going to be buying this for many, many years to come? Okay? How long is it? The breadth of it. What is the size of it? How many people are consuming? How many people are buying this stuff? What is the size of this market? What is this market worth? Is it worth a billion, 2 billion, 3, 4 billion? How much are people spending on this? And finally, the height. What is the profitability? How profitable would it be for me to go into this business? Because you may find some businesses, the profit margins are so narrow that, you know, you can make a million and have to spend £1 short of a million in order to make that million, because there just isn't the margins. So where would you get to there? You go to statistics. You look at statistics. You look at publications. You look at associations that are connected with that field, because they'll publish statistics to let you know what is the profitability of that marketplace. So this is very, very exciting for you. A good business venture starts with good market research. Good market research looks like this. Which market will you serve and why? What are people looking for in this market? In other words, what do the search engines say that people are looking for? What are people complaining about? What do the forums and the blogs say that they're complaining about? What are people already buying? Who are my competitors in this field? What is the length, sustainability, breadth, size, high profitability of this market? And you can find that out by looking up statistics. In other words, you use the internet, you use Google in this information age to find out everything you need to know before you even get started. Because the entrepreneur's secret is that they will never attempt to supply anything that is not already in hot demand. You have to find a hungry niche. You have to establish, satisfy yourself with proof that consumers are ready and waiting for what I have to offer. And then, of course, you've got to locate them, okay? And that's where, you know, when we get deeper into this and start dealing with marketing strategies, we're going to locate these people where they are so that you're never shooting in the dark and you know exactly how to position your business in a hungry niche market, already knowing these people are looking for this stuff every day. They're buying the stuff every day, but they're having a problem and they're complaining about this, and this is how we solve that problem. That's the secret of the smart entrepreneur. I pray that this was a blessing to you tonight. I'm going to unmute us in just a moment. But before I do, let me tell you that upgrading your membership to become a full-fledged paid-up member of ICANN Global at the diamond level, specifically at the diamond, because the diamonds get the gold and the silver together, is going to give you an education over the next year that will give you the ultimate advantage in business. I'm literally going to mentor you to become a master of business systems so that you'll be able to say what I'm saying, and you'll be able to do it, because you're not just going to hear it once a week on the telephone. You're going to have the training manuals, the additional seminars, full-blown seminars, all posted in your diamond page. Second great piece of news is that there is a half price. There is